traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Let's face it, in our busy lives, we don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. In fact, according to the CDC, only 1 in 10 Americans are eating the recommended daily amount of fruits and vegetables each day, missing out on essential vitamins, minerals, fibers, and antioxidants. And that's where Balance in Nature comes in. Balance in Nature sources only the best produce, free from pesticides, heavy metals, and harmful bacteria. And Balance in Nature is the best fruit and vegetable product on the market. They use only fresh whole fruits and vegetables inside each capsule. They don't use any GMOs, fillers, binding agents, or preservatives of any kind. You're getting real food, real science, real nutrition. I would never endorse a product that I don't use myself, and since using Balance in Nature, I feel more alert, I have more energy, my focus is sharper, and I feel great. Live life to the fullest and choose Balance in Nature. And guess what? PAS Report listeners can get 35% off the first preferred order. Start getting the recommended daily amount of fruits and vegetables you need by using code PAS at balanceofnature.com.
Welcome to the PAS Report Weekly Roundup Podcast. The PAS Report provides an honest analysis on the critical issues that matter to you without the biased media filters. Here's your host, Professor Nicholas Giordano.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the PAS Report Podcast. This is your host, Nick Giordano. Hope everyone enjoyed their weekend out there. Even as our irresponsible media and our irresponsible bureaucrats continue to operate through fear, when you look at the headlines, you watch the news, you should be disgusted. And it seems that in today's world, everything operates on emotion. And what better way to play on these emotions than to instill fear throughout this society? It really is disgraceful what we're witnessing out there. And we have to look at the motives behind this push. Think about how much more difficult our lives have become over the last 2 years. Think about how many ordinary Americans are suffering economically due to the increase in costs in everything. And it's all the government's fault. Understand that. It's because of their policies that led us to this moment. The elite ruling class, what do? They continue to have this let them eat cake attitude that you need to deal with it. Stop complaining and obey your masters because they know what's in your best interest. Well, sorry, but I refuse to accept that. And I'm working on a really important episode for Wednesday's show. It's perhaps one of the most important episodes that I've done, and it's going to go far beyond the superficial BS that we're witnessing today. An episode that will discuss what ordinary Americans need to do to stop this madness that's leading us to a very dark place, a place where the government has the ultimate authority over every aspect of our lives. And it doesn't matter what your political leanings are. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, Republican, conservative, libertarian, independent. It makes no difference. It's going to be an episode you can't afford to miss. And setting up Wednesday's episode, I have an awesome guest today. And ladies and gentlemen, I am so happy to announce that Lou Dobbs is back and he has a brand new podcast, The Great America Show. His voice has been missed over the last several months, and I'm looking forward to discussing some of the issues with the great Lou Dobbs. Before Lou joins us, go to the PAS Report website, sign up for the PAS Report newsletter, hit the subscribe button, the follow button so you never miss an episode, and share this episode with your family and friends. And now I want to welcome the great Lou Dobbs to the PAS Report, host of the brand new podcast, The Great America Show. Lou, so happy you could join me. Looking forward to the conversation. How are you today?
I'm great, Nick, and thanks so much for having me on the show.
Glad you could be here, because with everything going on, I want to start off with Lord Fauci as he continues to go on the news programs and basically espousing that he is the embodiment of science, that any criticism of Lord Fauci is a criticism against science itself. What do you think about Dr. Fauci?
Well, I love Lord Fauci. Brings my contempt for royalty and aligns it with showboating has-been public health doctors who suddenly want to be a celebrity. So yeah, I that's what I think of it. And I do think it's utterly irresponsible of the Biden administration to permit him to go out as a representative of the administration of the president. The man is making no sense. He takes every position, amalgamates them, and considers himself, as you say, Mr. Science. for him to say, I am science, is arrogance beyond what I thought even he was capable of. And you know, this is a great period of time in American history and world history, in point of fact, for all of us to be just a little modest. The world is not going as anyone, whether you're Xi Jinping, Vladimir Putin, or Joe Biden. It's not going according to what most people have been thinking and planning and preparing for. And then throw the European Union into it as well. And we have a world order that's becoming. It is not being shaped or in any way approaching a complete structure. This is a world order that is in flux. I don't know anyone who has a crystal clear idea of what our future looks like. But as I say, modesty seems to be the watchword of our era. And I would hope that Fauci would get the picture. You would think after going through what he has with China, the World Health Organization, the CDC, the NIH, the Trump administration, now the Biden administration, that he would be just a little humble, because he's been wrong at every twist and turn. And if he thinks that because he changes his position, suddenly he's right, you know, in retrospect, it's a pathetic statement about his character, his judgment, and frankly, his knowledge.
And I think he's reflective of this new bureaucratic class that's been emerging over the last couple of decades, where they feel that they are essentially superior to the ordinary peons who are just supposed to bow down and blindly obey and comply with them. But I think you're right. I think the world is on fire. Yeah. There's fires all over the place. We are seeing a reshaping of international politics. Nobody knows exactly where it's going to go. And so do you think that we're not paying attention to what's really happening around the world and domestically? And these people are just so far out of touch with ordinary Americans that they're really clueless when it comes to the issues.
Well, the ordinary, I'll line up every time with the so-called ordinary American. I proudly consider myself to be one of them. I love being an ordinary American citizen because I think it's one of the greatest appellations that one can imagine, is to be a citizen of this great nation. And the ordinary, the mediocre, the plebeian and pedestrian, I think you only look to Capitol Hill and 1600 Pennsylvania to find the least of the mediocre. We are a country right now with a surfeit of just mindless, average nonsense posing as supreme and elitist. It's pathetic to watch. It is not America. There's nothing in our tradition or heritage that would allow any of us upon a reading of our history to think, oh, there's going to be this wonderful moment where we're going to have global elites who will decide that our nation is insufficient, inadequate to the times, and therefore we must defer to the United Nations, the globalist elite, the globalist business geniuses, and the international trade system that takes into no account whether a policy or a transaction is good for the United States in the interest of national security. It is a mindlessness that has gripped our donor class and our so-called political class. And it is unfortunately holding sway right now.
And that's such a great point. It's not just Democrats, it's Republicans in the political class as well that are pushing for this idea of globalism, and it comes at the expense of America. Did you ever think that there would be a time where you have a bunch of political elites pushing to do what goes against America's best interests and maybe in China's best interest or Russia's best interest or any other country's best interest?
We had a strong signal, Nick, in the 90s, in which outsourcing and offshoring of production and plants by the business class in America, the U.S. multinationals in particular, but joined with the Chamber of Commerce and the Business Roundtable, as well as Wall Street, started pushing high-paying middle-class jobs out of America to cheap foreign labor markets and offshoring those plants and factories that could be operated without the unnecessary burden of environmental regulation, labor laws. And we watched that. And at that moment, more than 20 years ago, we saw the foundation of what the future would be, and we're now living it. The so-called distorted and disrupted supply chain globally, it's nothing more than the consequence of the venal and greedy labor arbitrage that began, as I said, in the early 90s, working its way through to this result. We are 97% dependent on communist China, for crying out loud, for our pharmaceuticals and pharmaceutical ingredients. Think about that. We have hundreds of millions of people in the West utterly dependent on China to survive pharmaceutically. It's just a stunning thought. Then apparel being manufactured overseas, whether it be in Southeast Asia, principally some in Central and Southern America, but most still, the number approaches 90% of apparel and clothing is produced in China. And we are a dependent nation, absolutely, right now on China. And we are locked up in this symbiotic relationship where China needs our capital and they need to steal our intellectual property, which they do to the tune of $500 billion a year without response or reaction from the United States government. And I'm talking about over the span of every Democrat and Republican administration for the past almost 40 years.
And that shows the stupidity of the political elites. I mean, even down to last year, you talk about pharmaceuticals, China openly announced that they would take care of their people first before they started shipping out any type of pharmaceuticals, which should have been an alarm bell for every single American politician. Instead, it was, let's not even cover it in the media and let's sweep it under the rug. When you look at it, China is using this globalist approach to empower itself and doing what's in its country's best interest. In fact, many of our adversaries use the concept of globalism to do what's in their own best interest. Why is the United States and why are European countries asleep at the wheel? How do they not see what's so clear and blatant to almost every normal person who's watching?
Right. You know, you referred to ordinary Americans. Ordinary Americans are living with those consequences. The prices that are rising, whether it's at the lowest cost, a retailer in the country amongst them, Walmart, Target, even their prices are rising as a result of this incredibly, well, just unnecessary and overly generous stimulus package that Biden has put together, which will assure we're a debtor nation in perpetuity. But we are right now living in what I call a mushroom society in this country. And those ordinary citizens, like I would assume you and me, we all get to stay in the dark while people throw crap at us. That's the policy, it seems, of both parties and our government. We are not being told what is happening. Our government is supposed to be the most transparent in the world. It takes days now to find out who the suspect is in a shooting or a murder instead of having identification immediately.
Well, they have to hash out the politics first.
Oh, exactly. And the American people are saying, okay, fine. Meanwhile, local news has been destroyed, local news outlets, whether television, radio, or newspaper, because you know they're in the hands of a few hedge fund traders, what poses as local news. But local is where it all starts. Citizens have their greatest control in their local communities, in their neighborhoods, in their public schools. And it's the last place too many of us think to focus our attention because we're so engaged in what the United Nations General Assembly speech was from 2 weeks ago. I mean, it's madness what we're doing in this country and what we're letting our left-wing Marxist media do.
Well, I think part of the problem is that Americans have forgotten the mechanics of our government and who's responsible for what. And this idea of federalism, where we have a separation between the federal government and state governments. Now, almost every issue, people try and kick it up to the federal level. And I think that's a big problem that has blinded things. At the same time, you have a bunch of people who believe that government was operating in good faith, that government was going to do what's in the best interest of the people. However, now the bureaucracy has been weaponized for ideological purposes, and they're targeting ordinary Americans. You know, just getting back to Lord Fauci, who brought up Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz, and January 6th just the other day. Yeah. At what point do we get rid of this corrupt, rotten-to-the-core bureaucracy that has been weaponized ideologically and is now targeting ordinary parents that are complaining at school board meetings, as opposed to those that are robbing the stores, the coordinated, organized effort that's storming stores and just robbing them blind?
Well, I think one thing that will certainly be one element that's certainly required, Nick, and that is we actually have people show up at school board meetings. I had board of supervisor meetings in townships and counties and show. And I think that the Republican Party, if it had any judgment or sense or commitment at all to federalism, would assure that the party brought at least a couple of hundred people to every school board meeting, every board of supervisors meeting, every city council meeting, and quit and lose this idea. You know, the Republicans are most tenacious in hanging on to the dumbest ideas the longest of any party in history, at least any party that still survives. And that is that there's a bipartisan, nonpartisan government at the local level. That is utter nonsense. It's just ridiculous that people buy into it, because it's all about party and philosophy and values and judgment about what is in the interest of the community. And parties are part of our life. I mean, would I wish that it were not so? Yes, actually, I wish that we didn't have to have partisanship. But it's worked in this country for a lot longer than it's failed. And we just need to remember it's a participatory democracy. And therefore, we have a bona fide responsibility to make certain that we and everyone in our neighborhoods and communities are engaged. And by the way, to the point of being obnoxious about it, because what is more obnoxious than watching this republic fail? And that's what I fear, that we're staring at the precipice there if we do not act and do so in an enlightened and patriotic fashion.
And a lot of it has to do with Republicans that just don't fight. They sit there, yep. They pander, they kowtow, they don't want to be labeled as racist or misogynist and everything. And so you've had the far left hijack, the leftists, the Marxists hijack the Democrat Party. They're in control of the messaging and the narrative, that literally every issue has gone so far to the left that the center's also gravitated with it. Yeah. I did an episode last week talking about the narrative. Everything on the Republican conservative side is now considered far right, like extreme fanatical right. And mm-hmm. I explained that they're doing that intentionally to move the center to the left as well.
Yeah.
In my estimate, I think Republicans and conservatives are much more liberal today than they were just 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think most conservatives could even define conservatism. I don't think there is an active, engaged philosophy in the political arena that defines itself as conservative with any kind of roadmap to definition, not even a ramp.
How sad is it?
It's pathetic, because conservatism has to be articulated in concrete terms, or it means nothing. I can tell you, the Marxists have figured out who they are and what they're doing, and they're doing it every day to all of us. And we've got Republicans walking around and say, "Well, you know, I really believe in corporatism." They don't say it that way, but that's what they're really saying. That they, you know, everybody should stop. Bow down to the corporations. You don't need to have a public, you don't need a pension. We're going to get rid of pensions because that's very expensive. And that just gives you too much money, labor, and makes us uncompetitive internationally. And so, yeah, you know, you don't really need those amazing Cadillac health plans that were the hallmark of an alliance between business and labor for decades in this country. Suddenly, the corporatists, the U.S. multinationals in particular, said, you know, you don't need that health care. We're going to weaken that too. And the result was decimation in terms of health care and the pensions that no longer exist in this country. And now, Nick, you probably don't remember this, but in the 80s, the watchword in business, corporate America, was empowerment of employees. When's the last time you heard that expression? Their idea is to disempower employees now. You have certain rules you've got to follow. You've got an HR department that operates more like a fascist political arm of the corporation. This is how you will speak. These are values that you will honor. You will talk about diversity and identity before you do anything else in terms of the product or the service or running a business. We have reached a point, Nick, that is untenable, unsustainable, and will, in my opinion, lead to a social Armageddon if we do not get our nation wide awake.
100%. And just to piggyback off what you just said, I find it really interesting. So if you do go back to the 1980s and even the 1990s, the idea was corporations are, if they got involved in the issues, it was going to be in the issue that actually impacted the corporation. So that's where they would lobby. That's where their special interests would be. Today, we now have corporations that are driving these social issues. You have corporations. So take the Georgia voting law. Corporations say that we don't like what the duly elected state legislative body did that was elected by the people. We don't like the policy that they put in place. And so we're going to economically punish that state because the elected representatives put in place a law that we dislike that has nothing to do with our industry. And so I think in this day and age, we're seeing the emergence of government, corporations, the media, and big tech all merge into one giant entity. And Republicans haven't woken up to that yet. I mean, the Republicans still think corporations are on their side about free market principles.
it's laughable because in the sense that when one crosses the penumbra of the absurd, all you can do is laugh. But what you've described in the combine of business, corporations, educational institutions, and government and politics, you're talking about the coalescence in a society around fascism. It is the classic definition, bringing government and business together, and there is no countervailing influence. At one time, we could have said that unions were a countervailing influence. They are not. They are now part of what is an egregious and obvious movement to the left toward the Marxist philosophy of Black Lives Matter, which is supported by corporations, which is endorsed by the Democratic Party. And I'm not talking about the radical Democratic Party. I'm talking about the establishment Democratic Party embracing Marxist philosophy and initiatives. And you can pick almost any example that you wish, whether it's in foreign policy or domestic. And Nick, this time is one of trial, and it is also one with a very significant approaching punishment for those who will not heed the danger signals.
Well, and the danger signals, you hear the left use words like deprogram, re-educate, purge society. Whenever you hear that terminology in politics, it normally doesn't end well for people. So I think that that's something that we should be highlighting. At the same time, when we're looking at the corporate world, people will say, well, how is it communism and Marxist if the corporations are doing the bidding of Democrat Party? Don't communists and Marxists, don't they not like private companies? How would you respond to that?
Very simple. Whether it's fascist or communist, whether it is Maoist or Marxist or Leninist, there is the factors of production are under the control of one entity. And this is an entity, this is a series, a group of entities that are merging right now in our society, as we've just discussed. We're talking about a classic control of the factors of production, factories, plants, the workers represented by what? There's no real countervailing influence. So they are Democrats. They are following Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And are no longer engaged in local politics or local government. They've actually just been untethered from any sense of nation, patriotism, or national values or interest. We have Wall Street today, Nick, doing the bidding of Xi Jinping and in moving U.S. markets and their capital to China. It's stunning that there's no regulatory, neither under Trump nor Biden. There's been absolutely no effort to stop the flow of U.S. capital to China. And by the way, they don't need any more of our money. We're talking about the biggest trade deficits in our country's history. They're stealing $600 billion a year in intellectual property, and it still goes on, and it's been going on in the trillions of dollars we actually built the modern communist China. And we did so because we felt that they could be more like us. And surely that if they saw what happens with our markets and our certainly friendship, support, positive relationship with a communist nation, that they would, without question, become a democracy, republic, at the very least, if not an open representative democracy, some new shape or flavor. None of it happened because each series of leaders, and I'm talking about in the White House, in the House, in the Senate, in this country, in academia, in Wall Street, and U.S. multinationals in particular, but it extends to the global 1,000 corporations, all were fools because they condescended to the Chinese because they were so vastly superior and advanced as leaders, whether it be in business or government or politics. They were naive and they were fools.
And you said something that nobody dare says out loud. For 40 years, we always thought that if we open everything up, that China is going to become more like us. But the reality is that the United States has become more like China. That's the scariest part of all. And big tech serves to make billions upon billions upon billions of dollars off of the big government surveillance state apparatus, because they're going to be the ones in charge of that apparatus.
Yeah, take a look at the face of Peter Thiel in recent photographs. This is a man scowling in every picture. I don't know whether it's intentional or otherwise, but every picture I've seen in media shows a man with his lips curled down, looking stone-faced and cold-eyed out to a distant point. This should be exuberance. This is innovation. And I'm talking about one of the most successful venture capitalists in the country. Take a look at what's happened to any number of people in Silicon Valley. There's a darkness hanging over their souls and their actually their visages. And I am desperately concerned that we have a group of people in our elites who should be, you know, exuberant about the potentialities of America and Americans, all America. And we have division, whether it be by race or ethnicity, by partisanship or ideology, instead rending this country. And our leaders do what to stop it? You don't hear an intelligent voice emanating from corporate America. You don't hear an intelligent voice. I don't hear. Maybe you can give me instruction on this. From certainly among us, I can't think of a single of our political leaders in either party who is coming forward with bright ideas focused purely on America first, on the national interest. And what about public education, which is the most effective and successful agent of equalization in our society? And instead, we have two grotesque teachers' unions that are every bit as authoritarian and left-wing as any one of the Marxist impulses within the Democratic Party, Black Lives Matter, Antifa. It's a deeply concerning time because there are so few institutions that are led by people who have the courage and intelligence to stand up for what is the greatest democratic republic, constitutional republic, in history.
Especially when it comes to education. I mean, the system's been destroyed. It's about obedience and compliance now. It's not necessarily about actual education and freedom of thought. So, right. And we don't even teach the concepts of, I do, but most don't teach the concepts of patriotism and the importance of the country and the roles and responsibilities of our government. But do you think a course correction is coming? I mean, we've seen these periods in American history that are dark. If you look at the Civil War, the Depression that followed that, if you look at the Great Depression, the Civil Rights era, we always seen dark times in the United States. And then there was a course correction and things figured itself out. Do you think that we're going to see that this time? Or do you think something's changed? Something's different?
You know, to me, it's a bit like a guy in a sailboat just offshore. And up comes a storm, pretty good storm. Let's say for the sake of things, a tropical storm. And the swells are getting to 8 feet. And he says to his girlfriend, you know, we better probably think about getting in to shore. Things are getting rough. And they said, but you know, there are always storms. And you know, people get out of it. I don't think we have to do anything in our own interest here. You know, we'd be a little drier, a little safer. We wouldn't be quite as seasick. And the boat wouldn't be taking quite a much hammering. But what the heck? Storms pass. This will pass too. You know, and those would be the last words before they sank. It's just terrifying to me to hear people say, Nick, as you intimated, you know, there'll be a course correction. politics and society are self-correcting mechanisms. The larger truth is nothing happens until people act. In 1860, the Civil War came about because people began to awaken to what a horrible burden slavery was in our society, in our Constitution embedded. And Americans chose, and I think we should, and you know, in this crazy dialogue in the public arena right now, people are being chastised because we once condoned slavery. There are lots of things that have been condoned in history, but not many countries have sacrificed hundreds of thousands of lives because the Union decided that this nation would be held together. They decided that there would be nothing called slavery and that it would be removed from America. And then there's the discussion about reparations. How much do we owe the families of all of those Union soldiers who freed the slaves? Remember, this wasn't a popular uprising on the part of the slaves. This was our society coming to terms with the egregious sin of slavery and saying no more. And how much credit can we give ourselves for that? How much do we owe the families? If we talk in these terms of reparations for, you know, events decades and decades ago, the sins of our fathers, also, you know, there were great miracles created by our fathers as well. So if we become, if we set a ledger, a public ledger that somehow wants to monetize those things, who owes who what becomes a fundamental question. But that question doesn't, no one seems to have the guts to ask in public, and no one has the principle to say, it's time for us to be absolutely open and honest with one another and admit what a great nation America is. This great nation owes no one an apology whatsoever for having done its best to do its best for all our people. And has it taken time? No, we were not instantly wise and virtuous, but we have been becoming for ever since our founding. And I'm very proud as an American of that fact. And I can't wait, for one, to see where the future takes us, because it will be to a better and brighter place. That is the essential lesson of our history. And it depends on the acts and the courage and the principle of, at first, just a few, but then the many.
And that's why I'm so glad to have your voice back in the public sphere, because most don't have the courage to say what you just said, but it needs to be said, and it needs to be screamed and hollered, and people need to recognize that we are the greatest country that ever existed, that American exceptionalism does exist, and it's not wrong or racist or xenophobic to say so. This is the one country that has paid the ultimate sacrifice with each other in order to always make advancements. And we continue to this day. So Lou, it's a pleasure to have you on. I want to thank you for coming on the Great America Show. It's a great podcast. People have to listen to it, and we're going to link up to it at the PAS Reports. Check it out. Lou, pleasure talking to you.
Nick, great to be with you. I thank you for the invitation. Enjoyed it. All the best.
I'll tell you, what a great experience getting to pick the brain of Lou Dobbs. The guy is a legend, and his voice has been missed. But no more. He's back. He is back. Be sure to check out his podcast, The Great America Show. Visit his website. I have all the links on the PAS Report, PASReport.com, so check it out. Before I go, remember, I have a really important episode lined up for Wednesday. It's a must listen, and I'm going to explain what the American people need to do to end this madness that we're witnessing. As always, if you're listening on an Apple device, don't forget to give the PAS Report a 5-star rating, take 30 seconds to write a review, share this episode with your family and friends, and post the link of the PAS Report podcast on all your social media feeds. I want to thank you for joining me. I want you to stay safe, and I'll be back on Wednesday for another great episode of the PAS Report podcast.
Thank you for listening to the PAS Report Weekly Roundup Podcast.
Have a good one.
Bye. Be sure to rate, share, and subscribe to the podcast so you'll never miss an episode. Also, visit PASReport.com and follow us on Twitter at PAS Report.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.